Grace and peace are yours in abundance in your knowledge of God and your Savior, Jesus Christ. God's word for our consideration today comes from the Gospel, the 24th chapter of Luke, picking up at verse 30. When Jesus, he was at table with them, he took the bread and blessed and broke it and gave it to them. And their eyes were opened and they recognized him, and he vanished from their sight. They said to each other, "Did not our hearts burn within us while he talked to us on the road, while he opened to us the scriptures?" This is the word of the Lord. There is a pattern and an order to most things that we experience. That order gives us structure. It gives us a sense of security. Within that framework, we can safely encounter new things. Let me give you a few examples. I'm willing to bet that many of you have seen at least one episode of Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood. When you're watching Mr. Rogers, what do you expect to have happen? Well, you expect Mr. Rogers to come through the doorway singing, "It's a Beautiful Day in the Neighborhood." You expect him to hang up his sport coat, take off his dress shoes, put on his cardigan and sneakers. You expect him to speak to you directly about the day's theme. You expect him to feed the fish, visit with his friends, maybe take you on a tour of a factory or an artist's studio, and of course, visit the land of make-believe. Finally, you expect him to change back into his coat and shoes and make his exit singing, "It's such a good feeling to know you're alive." It's the same thing every time. But it's not. It's the same structure, but within the framework, there is endless variety. All told, 998 episodes. Or consider the order of a baseball game. I don't recall going to a baseball game wondering, now are they going to play 4 innings tonight or 25? You go to a game expecting 9 innings. You know things are getting ready to roll with the singing of the national anthem. The players are introduced. You expect the teams to alternate between hitting and fielding. In the middle of the 7th, you expect to stand up and sing, "Take me out to the ball game." If the game isn't tied after the 9th inning, you go home. It's the same thing every time. But of course, it's not. It's the same structure. But within the framework, there is an endless variety of plays and outcomes which statisticians have tracked for decades. Or think of a normal school day. There's a pattern, there's a routine to the way students and teachers move through the day. There's no guessing when's recess or when's lunch. You know when your favorite subject is coming up and your not-so-favorite subject. It's the same thing every day. But of course it isn't. It's the same structure. But within the framework, there's an endless variety of lessons to be learned in and out of the classroom. And so it is that you come to church on a Sunday morning, and you expect, well, what do you expect? A confession and absolution, a psalm, series of readings from the Bible, usually Old Testament, epistle, and gospel, although, like right now, it's first reading, epistle, and gospel. You expect an explanation of God's word. You expect an opportunity to give an offering, pray to the Lord. Much of the time, you expect to participate in something we call the Lord's Supper, Holy Communion. Along the way, there are liturgical songs, portions of the Bible set to music, such as, "Create in me a clean heart, O God," or, "Lamb of God, you take away the sins of the world." This is the feast of victory for our God, and many, many others. And along the way, there are hymns and songs that teach the faith and give voice to our praise of God. We've come to treasure so many of those songs and hymns. It's the same thing every time, but of course, it's not. It's the same structure, but within the framework. There's an endless variety of stories and themes that center on the mighty works of God, and especially the living presence of Jesus in his church. Order serves us well. Just think of what happens when you're getting ready and the morning routine is interrupted. Usually not good. However, it must be said that order and routine can also make us a little too comfortable. Nowhere is that more true than in worship. We've all had the experience of being in a worship service while at the same time mentally making a grocery list. We're trying to remember if kickoff is at 1 or 4. I would suggest that the antidote to that is simply to keep on asking why. To continually review together the purpose of our time spent in worship. Why do we interact with Jesus the way that we do? The answer to that question is found in today's gospel reading. The Emmaus experience described in Luke chapter 24 is far more than a neat sort of PS to the Easter experience or a little add-on that's kind of interesting. It actually forms the foundation for how we experience Jesus in his church. Here's what I mean. Listen for the pattern that emerges here. The risen Jesus walks with two people. During that walk, he explained the Old Testament to them. He went through Moses and the prophets, describing how all of those writings were pointing to him. And later on, these men would say, "Didn't our hearts burn while he was explaining the Bible to us?" Then later that evening, Jesus sits down at the table with these men and listened carefully to this language. He took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and began to give it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they knew who he was. They recognized it was Jesus at the table with them. You see the pattern? The first part of the experience, instruction in the Word of God. It made their hearts glow with wonder. But this experience was only complete when they moved to the table and Jesus gave thanks over bread, broke it, and gave it to them. Now, Jesus was not only someone they learned about, but someone who was with them. Then he disappeared. He vanished right out of their sight, as if to say, "Now that I'm risen and I'll be returning to my Father, this is how I come to you until I return at the last day. My words will be with you. My body and blood will be with you in the breaking of the bread and the drinking of the wine that happens at the table. You will know me in these ways I am leaving behind for you."
you see the pattern?
In the first part of our worship, Scripture explains who Jesus is. In the second part, Jesus himself comes right to our table. With the Emmaus experience, Jesus laid out how he was going to give himself to us. He's still doing it. That's what we're really doing here. Week in, week out, month in, month out. A pastor once asked a group of very young children, "Why do you go to church?" And the answers were varied, as you might imagine. But finally, one little girl responded, "We go to church to be with Jesus." Now, before you say, "Aw, isn't that cute?" Understand this. She was absolutely right. I urge you to look for Jesus where he said he would be. At Emmaus, he demonstrated he would be in his word and in the breaking of the bread. He continues to come to us through this pattern to save us from the awful consequences of our sins. He comes to us through word, bread, and wine to forgive our sins yet again with the redemption he purchased at his cross. Within this framework, the risen, living Son of God touches you, forgives your sins, breathes faith and life into you, renovates your heart, resets your values, and welcomes you to your place in his kingdom. The risen Savior comes just to spend time with you. You really can go to church to be with Jesus. That's the promise of Emmaus. Let your eyes be opened to recognize him. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, with your Son and Holy Spirit, you have set a pattern for us in which we experience you. We experience your presence with us. Your Son set that pattern on the afternoon and evening that he rose from the grave. What a thing to consider. And it's equally astonishing to consider that we still gather in his church to meet him in the same way, in the hearing and believing of the word and receiving him at his table. Come, Lord Jesus, that's the prayer of your church today and always. Meet us here, as you have said. In your name we ask it. Amen.